Deuteronomy chapter 16. We are on the verge of a missions conference. We are just 3 days away from having a preacher come and tell us about faith promise missionary giving. For some of you, that might be a strange term. For some here, it is an old term. Some here could teach it. Some here could preach it. And yet some here, it'll be brand new. And all different stages in between. It's an exciting time because I believe that when we grasp the concept of faith promise, we're beginning to grasp what faith is really all about. We'll be teaching this week that faith, when it comes to the matter of missions, is giving it out of our pocket and believing God to bring it back. It's taking out of what we have and out of our own need to give to God and His work and missions and believing that God will replace it. Some teach it that you wait until God gives it to you. If you have it in your pocket, He already did. Faith is believing He will bring it back to your pocket. And I've seen God do that week after week and year after year in my own life. And I've come to believe wholeheartedly that God means what He says. Tonight I'd like to read chapter 16, verse 17. And just stay put, if you would, tonight. It's very short. It says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. I'll read that again. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank you. We've had the privilege to enter this house together. I'm so thankful tonight for the wonderful testimonies. I'm thankful for the music. And Lord, I'm so thankful for what you have done in hearts and lives. But God, we believe you are not done. We believe that you have much more to show us, to teach us. And Lord, we believe that there are greater works yet ahead for each and every one of us. And so God, tonight we just give this time to you and we ask you to move upon our hearts, teach us in an area that so few have come to understand. Lord, so often we are fearful of these things, of finances, of giving. But, oh God, it's in your Word. Teach us from it tonight. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. 3 times a year, the men of Israel were to go to Jerusalem for a feast. They were expected by God to bring an offering to that particular feast. This offering was not the tithe. It was an offering. I hope that we can see that there be a difference. The tithe, I do not believe, is a gift to God. For my Bible teaches me that it belongs to the Lord. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30 says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. So whatever it is that you pick off the tree, 10% of it, it belongs to God. It's His. Whatever we pull out of the ground, that is His. Whatever God gives us as an increase, our wage, so to say, that is what 10% of it is God's. It belongs to Him. Matter of fact, we find that the Word of God teaches us that the tithe is not a gift from us, that it's actually something that is His that we bring back to Him. It is something we bring to God. Now, in fact, we not only bring it, but if we do not bring it, He says we have robbed Him. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, states it very vehemently. In verse 8, 9, and 10 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Listen to the answer. In tithes And also he says offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God has said, that is mine. If you will bring it back to me and not rob me of it, I will then pour you out a blessing. I will give unto you. I will take care of you. I believe when we think of the matter of tithe and then of offerings, offerings begins after the tithe. If that is His, if that belongs to God, we bring it to Him. And He speaks of offerings, and that is something over and above the tithe. You say, preacher, you're really getting expensive. My God is worth it. My God is worth whatever it takes. Matter of fact, it is all His if we would be honest and truthful with Him. And if we were a people who are really in love with God, we would say, God, it's yours, whatever you want me to do with it. If you want me to give all of it, then that's exactly what I will do. We find that in these feast gifts, they were then giving to God of that offering. We must never limit God's intent, however, in the fact that giving is merely financial. I believe in giving goes even farther. There is giving of substance. There is giving of that which you and I have that we can see, that is that which we can put our eyes upon, our hands upon. You can call it money. You can call it, as back in the day when my sister was born, she was our egg baby because my dad and mom paid for her birth, paid for the doctor bill as they took eggs to him week after week. And whether it be in commodities, whatever substances might be, yes, those are things that we give. But I believe giving also goes beyond that into another realm, and I'd simply call it the giving of self. Giving of self. It includes our love. It includes not only our love, our joy. Isn't it something wonderful when somebody is joyous and they get around you and it invades your soul? It is a gift that they can give to us. As they give love, as they give joy, give peace. There are certain individuals. I mean, they have the peace of God in their soul so consistently and constantly that when you're around them, you feel at peace. There are other individuals, however, that we get around and we feel quite anxious. Is that not true? But certainly we have the privilege to give of those things. Listen, our most precious commodity, that once we give it, I am speaking of something very specific, once we give it, it can never be returned. We can never give it back. And that be our time, a portion of our life. And as we give of our time to an individual, we are giving them our very life. The Corinthian believers, in seeking to give to the cause of mission, seeking to give to those who are taking the gospel to other places, introduced to us and understood a tremendous principle. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 3. It says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Consider those three words, willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. If you were to open your Bible to that passage, you would find that these people were very poor. They did not have, they were giving out of their poverty, it speaks of, and they wanted to give unto the ministering to the saints. They wanted to help the saints of God who were taking the Word of God to other places to get that Word there. And they were willing of themselves. Very important. It goes on and says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." We're going to be talking about faith promise missionary giving. But may I suggest to you that if you're going to have a successful faith promise, if you're going to really be involved in this thing in its proper mold, you must first of all be willing not to just put your pocketbook into the offering plate, but to step in it yourself and say, "God, if you want me on the mission field, I am willing to go." I remember so distinctly the second missions conference we had. We had a man by the name of Lynn Randall here, and Lynn Randall, who's now with the Lord, a missionary going down to the islands of the East Caroline Islands. And Brother Randall had been a pastor for many years. God had called him to this mission field. And he heads down to these islands to minister to them. And now he's back home on furlough. And I get acquainted with him through Brother Kimmel. And he comes to our church and he speaks to us. And I can still hear his definition for faith. As he went to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I remember as he spoke to us, and the thing that gripped my heart the most was, if I am going to really be involved in this thing, I must be willing to give myself. And that week I said, God, if you want me on the mission field, and I really believed at the moment that I said that's what God wanted me to do, I said, I'm willing to go. And quite honestly, I thought I'm going to be packing my bags and headed to the East Caroline Islands. I don't even know where they're at. Out in the middle of the ocean. I think the Pacific. And God said, no, I just want you to be willing. And I believe that's exactly what they said here. And so we find that these people were willing to give of themselves. And what a great gift it is. I believe giving is not only that which is of ourselves, but also giving is passionate. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the last week He was on earth before His crucifixion, is often referred to by authors as His week of passion or the Passion Week. You've heard that term, I'm sure. The reason that term is used, because it was that passion, it was that love that God had that caused Him to give His very life upon the cross of Calvary that you and I might be saved. And the Lord, I believe, wants you and I to be very passionate in this matter of giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 8, it says this, "And I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." In that passage, which I believe is dealing specifically with this matter of giving to missions, He is saying that it is to prove the sincerity of your love. Why is it that when a young man asks a woman to marry him, he goes out and buys a rock? Why is it? It's not a piece of granite. He doesn't go pick up a piece of sand somewhere and plop it on a ring. And, he doesn't find a little dime store ring and plop that on there and hand it to her. No, he invests something into that. I have no idea what diamonds are worth today. I'm afraid to ask what a good diamond ring might cost, because we might get ourselves into trouble. But I'm sure that it's in the thousands somewhere. I read the story this week of a lady whose husband had died. And after he passed away, she had $30,000 that he had left just for his funeral and all the affairs of his burial. And she had bought a good, a very fine casket, and the funeral itself had cost somewhere around $10,000-$12,000. And her friend, knowing the situation, said, "Well, what have you done with the rest of the money?" And she'd put on a wonderful affair at the church and had bought meals for everybody. And it was a couple of more $1,000s. And she said, "Did you go out and perhaps buy a monument to him? Did you buy him a stone or something to put on his grave? What did you do with the rest of it?" And she said, "Yeah, I did. I bought me a diamond ring." What I'm speaking of, though, is not that. I'm speaking of that which is passionate, that which God did for you and for me. Giving is proportional. It isn't the totals that account really for the thing. It's the percentage. The Lord Jesus Christ, look at those who were casting into the trumpet, they call it. It was like a big horn, and they would throw their coins into this thing. It's like a big funnel, really. And as they throw the coins in, the rich men would come, and there would be a lot of tinkling as those coins went down and through that funnel. And yet there was this little woman that came, and she had two mites, which wasn't even in our money, a penny. And she cast those in, and the Lord Jesus Christ commended her. And she said, he said, she has cast in more than they all. What was the difference? They had actually put a greater total in, but she had put it all in that she had. Brother Kimball's often said that very, very vividly to us in years gone by. It's not what you give, but how much you have left over. It's proportionate. It's not those totals, it's those percentages. 2 Corinthians even speaks of that when it comes to faith promises, but by inequality. Now at this time, your abundance may be a supply for their want. I believe giving is purposeful. It is that which comes out of the heart. Every man, it says, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly. Or of necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. I can say this publicly because you know this. So often I have heard bread as the pound from basket has passed by, and he said, hallelujah. That we might have that kind of joy in giving. Now you don't have to say that, but what kind of testimony would that be? I want to think of Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17 for just a couple more moments. He says, every man shall give as he is able. Those four words captured my heart. As he is able. You know, of course, you cannot give what you do not have. It is impossible to do that. Many years ago, we had a lady that came to our church. She had, three girls. And we were over at home one night, and we were talking about some really big needs that we had in church. We weren't even in this building. It was just in the other one at that particular time. And she said, and we needed about $2,000-$3,000 for something. And she said, boy, if I had it, I would give every dime of it. And I thought, sister, bless your heart, you would give every dime of it. 3 weeks later, God gave it to her and she never gave a dime of it. But there is something very important for us to understand from this. As He is able. You cannot give what you do not have. That is impossible. The real ability to give, however, I don't believe, is in what you have in your pocket, but what you have in your heart. That simply believes God to provide, no matter if you were called upon God to give it all. A number of years ago, it was a popular thing for churches to have a reverse tithe Sunday. And so folks were asked to keep the tithe and give God their 90%. I never did find out how that went in churches. I was never brave enough to try it. But I have known of people who have done that. It's not our ability in our pocketbook, but in the heart. I thought, as that lady told me, if I had it, I would give it, that was really her heart. As it turned out, it was not. As He is able. And notice, secondly, he says, according to the blessing. The real ability is, I believe, to give is in the heart. But secondly, I look at this according to the blessing. Many do not give because they do not perceive the blessings that are upon them. As I sat in prayer meeting tonight and heard people giving thanks to God, I was overcome because there are folks who are saying, hey, my God is real. And He has done things in my life. In actuality, God has given us all that we have. But our perception is limited by our lack of faith to believe that is really all from Him. I'll tell you what, when we really realize what somebody has gone through to give us something, it makes us very grateful. It does something down inside of us. And inside of us, we desire to give back. Have you not been in a situation where perhaps you walked into something, maybe it was a family thing, maybe it was just something at work, and here there was some gifts that were being given, and you had something very lavishly given to you, and you thought, oh my goodness, I have nothing to give. I didn't realize. Because inside of you wells up the desire to give back. And when we recognize how wonderful our God is to us, I don't believe as your pastor it's my job to stand up here and try to raise money through some kind of trickery. I don't believe it's my responsibility to try to give you some heart-jerking story that you might reach down and pull another dollar out when it's offering time. I don't believe it's my job. But I do believe it's my job to help you fall in love with Jesus, because when you do, you want to. You want to be involved in seeing that gospel and His goodness go in the lives of others. It does something to the purse strings when the heart strings are really pulled by God. As He is able, according to the blessing. Here were a people that were required to go 3 times a year to Jerusalem. And God said, I want you to bring an offering at that time. And He says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which He hath given thee. God wanted them to recognize His goodness in their life and thus return a gift unto Him. By the way, it's always through those gifts that the work of God then goes forward. And things get accomplished, and others hear the gospel. We have missionaries all over the world that this church supports. Thank God for that. And when you give of your dollars and that money goes to them, there are folks that are reached for Jesus Christ as a result. I don't know about you, but I hope when you receive those letters, and by the way, if you got email, you should be getting those. I hope you read them. And many times they have on their prayer requests of certain people they're asking you to pray for, and I hope you pray for them. By the way, when you're reading it, pray right then or you'll forget it. But also when you're reading that and you see that somebody got saved, praise God, hallelujah, I had a part in that soul. When these men come and they present their ministry and we see it, nowadays it's normally some kind of computer presentation, and as they present that and the pictures come on the wall of those folks who have been saved. God used you. We have part in that. Last Wednesday night, we gave out awards, probably the tune of about $200-$300 worth of awards that went to the kids. Peanuts and compared to 2 souls that got saved. We probably invest $3,000 to $4,000 a year into master's clubs. We bring in a lot of hooligan kids. I understand that. We have some troublemakers. We have all of these things. But thank God when somebody comes to know Christ. Thank God that some of these young people are learning the Word of God and having that mesh down deep in their soul. Greg was telling me about the young man that he led to Christ and how he's just so hungry for the Word of God and trying to help him to gain that Word of God. A little evangelist running the streets of Council Bluffs. That little boy can reach more people than any of us can as far as kids are concerned. If he gets the things of God ingrained to his soul. Amen. We have no idea how that all happened. Because some people in this church were willing to put in dollars because they love God. To take care of all the things that need to be taken care of. It is horrendous, the expenses. It's horrendous. Tomorrow morning I'll be getting up and be calling the furnace people because one of our furnaces out in the back has quit. You've been in the gymnasium today, you notice it's just a little bit cool in there. Things break. They're still under warranty, but it's probably something that's not under warranty. How many of that's your experience? Yeah. It'll cost some money. Yeah. I mean, there's things like that constantly. I mean, light bulbs that change. These light bulbs all have ballast. They're about 20, 30 bucks a piece. They go out. Right now in the boys' gymnasium over there, or in the boys' bathroom, not the boys' gymnasium, but in the bathroom, there's a fan motor needs to be replaced. In the boys' bathroom, fan motors need to be replaced. What is it? It takes money. You know what I'm saying? But God uses His people when they love Him. Amen? What a great God we have. Do you love Him? Yeah. And when you love Him, here's what happens. You want to give yourself and all that you are to Him. Just the way it works. For God so loved He what? He gave. And He gave all of Himself because He so loved. That's pretty neat. The biggest word in the entire English Bible is found in John 3:16. Did you know that? It is the largest word in the entire Bible. It's got two letters. For God so loved the world. Put it up in the infinity.